taken under advisement, and the court will proceed to the eighth case, the United States versus Velasquez. Mr. Rascia.
Good morning, Your Honor. First, let me introduce myself. My name is Pablo De Castro. Oh. I understand there was some confusion when my office filed an amended notice to the court last week that I would be appearing today. Mr. Rascia had an unexpected change in a trial schedule, and he asked me to appear in his stead today, and I'll do my best. We are here, obviously, for Rosalina Velasquez. The issue is really just one of whether or the application of the minor role adjustment under the guidelines. It's a fairly simple question, and I think the reason we're here and the reason there are so many cases brought is that there is some confusion, I think, in how this question is addressed, not only in this case, in this district court, but in general. There comes a defendant before the court who says, I am guilty, I participated, but my participation was less than the average among all the others who participated in this crime. And the response from the government is, you can't be a minor participant because of all the things you did. You participated. And they're not comparing her participation to the others. They're just harping on the fact that she participated. They say, well, you participated in 11 phone calls without counting the number of phone calls that her husband participated in or any of the others. This is a woman who was married to the, as the government calls him, the central figure in this conspiracy. The central figure in this conspiracy was Emeterio Velasquez, Rosalina's husband. Their son was also involved. Many others were involved, from Wisconsin to Indiana. Her participation really was in communicating with her husband, offering advice, offering her opinion. It was opined by the court that she could not qualify for minor role because she knew of the extent of the conspiracy. She never denied that she knew what her husband was doing. She knew all about her husband's business, but that still didn't make it her business. It was his. She offered a lot of opinions. She offered a lot of advice. But that doesn't necessarily make her the person who's making all of the decisions. That doesn't make her the person who is directing the operation of the organization. She's making suggestions, whether or not they were ever followed.
Your position is she was operating under the pressure of her husband.
She's known this man since she was 15. They've been married since she was 17. She has been.
No, that wasn't my question. Is it your position that she was operating under pressure from her husband?
No, I don't think that she ever made the position that she was under pressure necessarily, although she did have a sort of traditional respect for his role as the husband, and that
what is that?
Well, I think that in the culture that she comes from, it was not, she did not consider it her place to question him or to challenge him.
Are you familiar with Oliver Twist?
Vaguely, yes, sir.
Do you recall the beetle who suggested that the law presumed that his wife acted under his direction, and he said, in which case the law is a ass, that a husband directed his wife what to do?
This sort of brings up the question, I guess, if I may mix a couple of metaphors. Is she the puppet master or is she just a backseat driver?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody accused her of being...
The argument has a thrilling connection to Oliver Twist.
It's always good to bring in literary references. But, again, this also has the same problem. This focuses on what she did or didn't do and not on what she did or didn't do in comparison to what everybody else did or didn't do. Yeah. She didn't carry any firearms. She didn't threaten anybody. She didn't negotiate any terms. She didn't organize the deliveries. She didn't drive loads across state lines like others did. She didn't store giant piles of drugs and guns in her house. There's a lot of things that she didn't do and that others did, and this should be the question. In reading over this case, I'm reminded of something a judge I once knew at 26th in California, a judge that many of you may know, and I won't name him, famously said, probation is for the innocent, which he meant as a joke, but it's kind of depressing if you think about it. And I wonder if that's where we've come to with minor role, that it's only for those people who have been found guilty or who have pled guilty, but who maybe shouldn't have, and maybe we feel bad, so maybe we throw them the minor role. If that's the only people that get minor role anymore, you can't have minor role because you had a role. That's the answer she got. She said, I participated, but my participation was minor, and the response was, you're not a minor participant because you participated. And they focused on the things that made her guilty. They focused on the facts in the plea agreement. The facts were not in dispute. They were laid out in a plea agreement. She accepted her responsibility. What she wanted the court to do was consider her responsibility as compared to that of the others, not in and of itself. And I don't think the court did a very good job of explaining whether or not the court was doing that. If the court was, in fact, considering it in its proper context, I don't think the record reflects it, and I don't think she got the impression that he was considering the question that she had posed. And we would ask the court to remand for a new sentencing.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Agnello?
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the court. My name is Thomas Agnello, Special Assistant U.S. Attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin, appearing on behalf of the United States of America. This case involves a straightforward application of the federal sentencing guidelines. Applying the governing standard of review, the district court did not commit clear error when concluding that the defendant constituted an average participant in the conspiracy. Ample evidence in the record supported this conclusion. We have, on the record, 11 wiretap conversations between the defendant and her husband, the central figure in the conspiracy who served an aggravating role, during which drug prices, quantities, and debts were discussed in detail. During these communications, the defendant was an active participant, advising and instructing her husband on a host of activities in furtherance of the conspiracy, including to whom to sell drugs, to whom to front drugs, how to collect drug payments, which vehicles to use and not use in activities of the conspiracy, where to let the organization's drug runners operate, when to get a new phone for use in the conspiracy, how to conduct transactions, and how to avoid detection by the authorities. The defendant also accepted payments in meetings from a confidential informant on two occasions for debts totaling more than $22,000, and she maintained ledgers documenting the drug debts owed to the conspiracy. Furthermore, execution of a search warrant at the defendant and her husband's home uncovered drugs, weapons, ammunition, ledgers, and more than $30,000 in cash. Accordingly, the district court had more than sufficient evidentiary basis to conclude that the defendant had decision-making capacity within the organization. She was not merely following orders from her husband. She was an active participant who was advising her husband and instructing him. That her participation was necessary to perpetuate the drug trafficking activities, and that she was integral to the conspiracy's profitability. Therefore, under this court's precedent in McKee, Crowley, and Sandoval Velasco, the defendant was not entitled to a minor role reduction under Section 3B1.2 of the United States Sentencing Guidelines, and the United States respectfully requests that the judgment of the district court be affirmed. Thank you.
Mr. DiCastro, did you have any time for rebuttal? Oh, yeah, but, yeah.
I won't need 5.
Sure. I know there had been no request, but I thought you had time.
Again, I think that's a confusion in the response filed by Mr. Rasha and the response filed by me. I just wanted to add, with respect to her knowledge of the extent of the conspiracy, that the notes to Guideline 3B 1.2 specifically address the fact that when considering minimal participation, it may be an indication that you are not a minimal participant if you know the extent of the conspiracy. It specifically does not mention that as a factor to be considered with respect to minor role. It does indicate that you're probably not a minimal participant if you know what's going on. She didn't ask for minimal participation. She didn't ask for a finding of not guilty. She's not saying she didn't participate. She's just saying her participation was less than the average participant, and that should be considered. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Castro. Thank you, Mr. Agnello. The case is taken under advisement. The court.